Během života potkáte různé osobnosti. Za mnohými z nich stojí zajímavé životní příběhy. A ty nás v Progressus Invest Holding inspirují a motivují. V našich podcastech se s vámi podělíme o tyto příběhy, které nás všechny posouvají dál.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are pleased that you are watching another episode of Progress Your Mind podcast by the investment group Progressus Invest Holding. We are back in Karlsbad and very happy to welcome here another special guest. But before I reveal his name, let me read some information about him. He was born in Brazil, got a university degree from law school. He began his career in Miami, Florida, where he created a startup coffee company, which, thanks to his skills, determination, and business strategies, allowed him to grow his business faster over his competitors. Later, he expanded his coffee business all over the globe. He's been CEO, publisher, and executive editor of Forbes magazine editions in Belgium, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, and Monaco. He is one of the board members of the prestigious Monaco Mediterranean Foundation under the patronage of His Serene Highness Prince Albert II of Monaco. When summed up, a trader, investor, advisor, who is well known for his communication skills as he is fluent in English, French, Portuguese, Spanish, Russian, and Italian. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Luis Fernando Costa Macambira.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the introduction. And it's a pleasure to be here with you guys.
Luis, thank you for coming. I'm honored to be here with you today. Right off the bat, without doubt, you have achieved great success. But hats off, 6 languages. You have my admiration. Does it have anything to do with your personal or professional life, or was it just a desire?
Actually, I think it's all accidental. It was very accidental. Of course, English was a desire. Native language is Portuguese. Then Spanish, funny enough, I learned in Miami, since Miami has a huge Latin population, Cubans and from other South American countries. Russian, doing business. I'm not fluent in Russian, but I have some knowledge. So I think every language had a special time in my life, and why I accidentally learned them, not really decided to study them. It was just like that.
As I mentioned, you are an investor, trader, advisor, real estate developer. Could you briefly share your life journey with us? What all happened before you founded Forbes Monaco?
Well, I was back to the U.S. and when I had my coffee trading firm. And I think a huge turning point was when Russia opened its market. It was a new emerging economy. That's 1991. And I had made one trip to Russia. I had a very good chat with the Brazilian ambassador at the time, and he says, there are companies very interested in all our commodities. And I couldn't understand, because I said, how can you have companies in Russia if it's there was still Soviet Union? And he explained, no, it's opening, you know, gradually. So from that point, which was 91, I decided then to target Russia as a market. And it was just right time, right place. And I was very well connected in coffee coming from Brazil, and Brazil being the largest producer of coffee in the world. Through family contacts, I knew the biggest producers. And they all believed in me. They believed that we could do well in Russia, and we did. So that's the trajectory before. Then in the late 90s, I had already saved enough money. I said maybe I should have an early retirement, and I thought I was doing that, and I decided to move to Monaco just to relax and enjoy a little bit life. When the opportunity came to be the publisher of Forbes, and one Swiss group brought me the opportunity. And in the beginning, I was reluctant, and I said, I have no experience in media. Then I took up the challenge, and finally, to make a long story short, it's been a huge success. We are very highly regarded in Monaco, from the government eyes to the public to the readers. We kept very, very good content in the level that Forbes requires. And it's been a very nice, successful story to publish Forbes.
I will come back to Forbes Monaco, but before that, I know that you've been to the Czech Republic many times, and you also were a few times in a city called
Pardubice.
How come?
That's very interesting. Do you know this city? That's very interesting story, because I think it was 91 to 92, or I don't remember exactly when. We came to the conclusion that it was easier to ship coffee here and then pack it here, because the Czech Republic had very good packing lines, and we would ship the coffee in bulk in big containers. And then from here, ship to importers in Russia. And Brazil had very poor packing capability, and other European countries were not competitive as Pardubice. And then I think it lasted 4 or 5 years that we're shipping to the Czech Republic, packing in Pardubice, beautiful glass jars and beautiful packaging, and then sending it to Russia.
When you finished this business in Pardubice, where did you move your business to?
Well, the business at that time was bulk, so we're sending huge containers. And then Russia, slowly the market got more sophisticated. There was more competitors in different formats of packaging. Then we were already, at that time also Brazil, advanced their packaging capabilities. And then we start shipping direct from Brazil instead of going and having one point of packaging and then sending to Russia. And then also later, we figured out that we could pack in Russia as well, because Russia at that time also didn't have good capability of packaging. So it was an evolution, but Pardubice played a big role of my coffee business at the time.
Amazing.
It was incredible.
you already said it, but I'm going back in time. It's 2017. You and you, two other partners, are setting up a media company in Monaco. In record time, less than 30 days, you put together the first issue of Forbes Monaco. With no previous experience, yet your dedication, remarkable performance have put you on top in this market. Why did you decide to enter a whole new environment with... What was the impulse motive?
Well, I think I'm a very active person. I'm very hyper. I need to have something to do. And then I was in Monaco, like I told you. I said, maybe I should not get into media. Maybe if I want to be active, I'll still do trading. But then the opportunity came, and there was a Dutch partner and a Swiss partner. And they said, this is great, and you're the perfect guy because you know the country, you're well-established. And I said, okay, I'll give it a shot. Then I don't have any special talents, but one thing that I'm proud that because I'm very active, I'm extremely doer. I really like to do things, and I do it. I take as a task, and I said, I gotta do it, and I put it in my mind, and I execute. And at that time, I said, I don't understand how it works, but I think I can't push it. And maybe 30 to 40 days, we had the magazine already. It was not the most fantastic content, but very fast, we were on the street. And that made a difference. because everybody was impressed, and then the second issue was better, and then better, and better, and better. But I think that point was my capacity to execute. And that was a little bit of the American school, that in the West, it's a great country, they really do things, and they taught me to be proactive. And it's good to do plans, to do business plans, to, but it's good to execute. And we were lucky because we did, and it was a very short time to learn how to do it, but we did it very fast.
You did. You certainly have the opportunity to compare. How is Forbes Monaco different from, for example, American Forbes or Forbes in other European countries?
Monaco is a very specific country. It's a little pearl in the Mediterranean. Because of a set of elements like security, high quality of infrastructure, and obviously a tax-free environment, attracts a lot of ultra-high net worth individuals. So I think Forbes US made a report in 2018 or 17 that one in three people in Monaco are millionaires. And if I'm not wrong, there are about today 200 plus billionaires. So what's the difference? Is that on the 1.5 square kilometers, you have a huge concentration of a lot of entrepreneurial capitalism. Because if you made your money, you're a successful entrepreneur in England, you end up going to live in Monaco. If you did in the Czech Republic, you go end up in Monaco. For all those elements, good life, high quality of life, good infrastructure, and no taxes. So it sounds like a paradise. And the charm of the region of south of France, which is very charming and very attractive. So I think the difference is that the concentration, let's take it, for example, contributing writers. I have more celebrities contributing to write than probably the U.S. I'll mention a few, Lia Riva, you know, the boats Riva. And I have Carl Christian Habsburg. So I have a lot of people that are settled in Monaco that they love to write for us, for the prestige of writing. So that I'm not sure that it's so evident in the U.S. Because of this high concentration of ultra-high net worth individuals. So it's easier for me. My environment is most of billionaires, and it's perfect for Forbes.
That's true. Speaking of Forbes, do you consider yourself number one in this market? Or do you have any competitors anywhere in the world?
Well, I don't see myself as a number one. I think we are very proud of publishing a brand of this caliber. There are other Forbes. I think I see a couple of advantages that we publish it in English, so it's more widely read, I think. I think we publish in Monaco. I mean, we publish in the Netherlands today, but in Monaco, because of the concentration of successful entrepreneurs, it's easier. So in that aspect, I think we are the only ones, because I don't see any other Forbes or any other publication being published and circulated in the environment where there are hundreds of billionaires. I think only Monaco, and in Monaco we are the only one. So in this sense, yes.
Since I've been working in event management, I was wondering, what do you think was the most beautiful event the Forbes Monaco has hosted so far?
In November last year, 2021, we had a beautiful event, which was the topic was NFTs, which is so in vogue, and a little bit of crypto and metaverse, and attract a huge interest of the local population and people from all over the world. And it was fantastic because the whole scenery, we did at the Yacht Club of Monaco, which is a beautiful venue, and the quantity and of very high profile people that went, and they were actually disputing to go, it was very rewarding. And I will not mention the names, but a lot of very, very interesting people went. And I think it was probably our most beautiful event. Now, we just did one last month, and we had the Gypsy Kings to perform, which was fantastic, even if it's a group from the 80s, but still they have that music, which is the Spanish guitar, which is so beautiful. And in the end, you would find on the floor a lot of famous people dancing. And it was also about metaverse, and it was also a pleasure to do it. And we felt very rewarded with the reaction of the locals and the other ones that visited us from many parts of the world.
And any other events on plan near future?
We do have one coming on the December 1st. Mm-hmm. We have the Forbes Monaco Power Women Summit, which will have some interesting speakers. I think it will be very, very attractive because women will address the issues of the 21st century, and we'll talk about sustainability and everything else. They're all entrepreneur women. And we have, for example, the wife of the boxing legend Evander Holyfield. She founded her law firm in America, extremely successful. Then we have the daughter of Princess Stephanie, which is a designer, Pauline Ducroix. She's a designer, and she created a brand called Alter, which is completely gender-free. So it's not for men, not for women, it's for whatever. So very, you know, very modern in our times. And then we have the wife of the former Prime Minister of the UK, Tony Blair, Cherie Blair. She has a foundation for women. So all of them have very strong voices, and it should be a very interesting event.
This all sounds brilliant, but you mentioned retirement. Are you retired?
I think it's impossible for me. I tried when I was 30-something, and I continue to get involved in different ventures and different things, and I like it. And it's a therapy, of course, for my brain, and I'm super hyperactive, so I have to think about what's next.
It's obvious,
next. You're
very, very, very active.
All the time.
My question is, how does a businessman like Luis Macambira
spend
his free time, leisure time? Where does he get inspiration?
I don't know if I have an inspiration, but for example, I love different cultures, and I feel that my soul is enriched by knowing more and more. So knowledge is an inspiration. I always want to know more. So it's incredible. Like being here in Carlo Vivari, it's an amazing trip because what a beautiful city and beautiful culture. And discovering a city like this and a country that I already loved because I've been here many times, and beautiful people, that's what inspires me. And I go to another place. It could be another day I was talking to a friend and say, oh, where have you been? And I said, oh, I'm going to drop a name that probably you don't know, Babylon. You only read on the Bible. He says, Babylon? Yeah, but where is Babylon? Say, well, 90 kilometers outside Baghdad in Iraq. I've been. And it was even a closed city in the time of Saddam Hussein. And I'm proud of getting knowledge. And the more you know, the more you feel good about yourself.
I heard that when Grand Prix in Monaco is held, half the population, city's population, leaves the city because people don't like the crowded city, and the other half stays. Is it really true?
It's true, but there are two aspects. One, it's true that you leave because there's too many people, about 200,000, I think. It's to a very small little place that has 38,000 inhabitants. So you get there almost tenfold, you know, sevenfold in terms of people in one weekend. But also it's interesting, I learned when I had my kids and the kids were in school, the schools are closed from Wednesday So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So we take that long holiday, like a special holiday, says it's perfect to go somewhere else. So you plan trips based on the kids that are not in school. And that's what most of people do. So some just leave because of the noise. Some leave because say, wow, I have a chance to be away and take my kids for almost a whole week. And that's the reason. I love...
What about you?
Yes. You were going
to
ask. So
I was going to ask.
I do love motor racing, being a Brazilian, and so many Brazilian champions in the past, from Senna to Piquet and Fittipaldi. And so I do love motor racing. So I say 1 year I stay, 1 year I go. And it's for me, it's a passion. I love motor racing.
No more question if you are a Formula One fan.
I am a big Formula One fan.
Do you reckon there is still room for more business in Monaco?
I think so. You have, there is a special characteristic that the entrepreneurs, they're there. They went there like I went in a long time ago in the beginning of 2000 to relax. It's an aspirational destination. Say, okay, now I enjoyed. But I would say maybe half of those business people still want to do something. And when you have a lot of powerful brains in one place, it's easy to come up with an idea and even to apply it in Monaco, even if it's a small little market. So I would say yes. All the time I find entrepreneurs that I can clearly see that they don't want to do anything. They just want to stay in their boat or relax in Corsica or in Sardinia. But there is another half that say, I'm glad that I met you or met him or her. Let's do something. So I think it's 50-50. But Monaco, there are many opportunities. In real estate, it's a little bit difficult because you have a very small territory. So I still find developers that from time to time find an old maison bourgeois, an old building they buy, and the government authorizes them to build a high rise. But it's not easy to find. It's very limited. So real estate is kind of limited. But there are other businesses that definitely, the main business, it's banking, insurance, yachting. Those are the main industries, and tourism. Within those three or four industries, I still think there is always room to cruise for something creative or disruptive, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of opportunities, not just business ones, the current population you already said is almost 40,000 inhabitants. And according to the survey, Monaco is one of the most densely populated countries in the world. Is there still available land to build on?
Land, no. Like I said, you would need to buy, you know, old building and sometimes a historical, beautiful buildings. Maybe the government doesn't want to allow. Fair enough, they want to keep it. But sometimes, yes. And I know two or three developers that sometimes they're hunting for a property for, or sometimes they have to buy apartment by apartment by apartment, and they finally succeed to buy 10 apartments from different owners. And they say, okay, now I can turn this down and build a high rise. But sometimes they stay 4, 5, 6 years to find one opportunity like this. But being the most expensive real estate in the world, all of them told me that they had fantastic returns on their investment.
Great. Do you find Monaco a sustainable city?
Thanks to the prince, the sovereign has been very, very proactive on that. So public transportation is electric or biodiesel. There are a lot of movements to protect the ocean, I mean the sea, the Mediterranean Sea. And the Prince Albert Foundation is actively working on several different projects all about sustainability. I think it is. I think it's a very, we're lucky to have a very progressive sovereign. Prince Albert of Monaco, he thinks ahead, and he is very much an ecological prince, and we're very happy with that.
Then you moved to Miami, and now you've got your life in sunny Monaco. Why Monaco? I mean, is this your final destination?
Well, I'm not sure it's the final destination. I have one bigger son right now at Yale. And for some time I thought, so it would be nice to live again in the U.S. and being closer to him. But in the end, I say, well, maybe he doesn't want the father to be around. So I said, maybe I'll stay in Monaco. I'm not sure, since I never know what destiny will be. I'm open. If it's tomorrow to move to Mongolia, why not? It depends on the circumstances. It depends on the opportunities. I'm very open. I'm not someone that says, yeah, I'm going to spend another 30 years in Monaco or in London. I'm very open.
I have to admit, when having coffee this morning together, you were talking about why you like France so much.
I love the culture. It's beautiful. Like we discussed a little while ago, from the language, I like the elegance. I like the sophistication. Some people may like for other reasons, but I don't want to be unfair to other cultures worldwide. But I like they have this little difference of how to do things. And I'm a Virgo, and they say that Paris actually is a Virgo. The city is Virgo. So I'm very, very sensitive to those little things, and I love the culture. From the language to everything, they have a beautiful culture.
Louis, you received the award Media Entrepreneur of the Year at the International Investment Congress 2022 in Paris. What does award success mean to you, or how do you measure success?
Well, not the award itself. It's always a pleasure if any institution, organization, or even friends recognize that you are doing something right. So, because you never know. So how I don't have a feedback. Maybe I'm not that good. Am I doing good? And so that is another recognition, and it's very rewarding for me. Another day I met somebody that organized the World Influencers and Bloggers Award. So it's a big event. It's already the 14th edition, if I'm not wrong, or fifth edition, I'm sorry. And she said, in media in Europe, I only want to do business with you. And I said, no, don't exaggerate. I mean, they are wonderful. I'm nothing. She says, no, maybe you are underestimating how you manage, but I love, and as a consumer, as a partner, I feel comfortable in how you manage it. And I do business with Y, Z, X, and it's chaotic and tragedy. I said, no, I think there are wonderful companies out there, but I will take the positive part of your comment that you are happy with me. So it means that we are doing something right. Because we never know, am I doing right or not right? And I also learned this in my American phase, that I think was Samuel Walton from Walmart. And he says, there's only one boss in a business, the client. It's less evident in Europe, but in America, they have this, they take it to the heart. It says, the only person that can fire from the CEO to the secretary is the client, by simply taking his or her business somewhere else. And there's nothing more correct than that. So if you're not doing good, okay, I will go do business next door. You lost it. It's your loss. So I have this theory. So I try to, at the same time, keep a high standard of the brand we publish, which is it's Forbes. And at the same time, I want to make sure that we over-delivered to the client, that we under-promised and we over-delivered, and he's happy or she's happy. This makes the business flourish. And I take this exactly as an exercise, and I do it over and over and over again. I want to know and make sure that our partners are happy with us. And it works.
Nicely said.
It works.
Nicely said, Louis. Your life has been really inspiring, very active. Could we share some news about you with our spectators, listeners, about A book.
Yeah, I would just give you a little bit of a hint. I mean, some person very close to me thought I should write. They wanted to write a biography, and then I said, okay, maybe I'll help. It will be a half autobiography. And in the end, the person started, and they said, okay, maybe it's going to be memoirs, and I would like you to tell us many of your adventures in trading and in life in general. From Brazil to America to Monaco. And I think hopefully by the end of the year, we'll have something published. It'll be published in the US, but then we'll definitely distribute in Europe. It's going to be something fun. I think so.
Definitely. We're looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Luis, thank you very much for coming, for sharing your life journey, and enjoy your stay here in Carlsbad.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for all the kindness and the warm of all these beautiful people. Thank you very much.
Welcome. And to the rest of you, thank you for your attention. And do not forget to follow us on all podcast applications. Goodbye.
Jsme mezinárodní investiční skupina Progressus, která spravuje rozmanité portfolio inovativních firm a projektů. Podnikáme především v oblasti realitního developmentu a výrobního průmyslu. Máme zázemí v České republice, působíme po celé střední Evropě a chceme naše aktivity dále rozšiřovat na západ od našich hranic.